tonight's shir, Parshas Va'era. Pasuk says, "Ve'Elazar ben Aaron a kohen lakach lo mibnos putiel lo liisha." Elazar, son of Aaron, he married one of the daughters of Putiel lo liisha. So Rashi says, "Who is this? What's Putiel referring to?" Rashi says that this girl, she was Mizera Yisro, Shepitem Agalim Lavodazara. Putiel is a nickname for Yisro, Lashon Petem, to fatten up. He used to fatten up calves for Avodazara. And also Mizera Yosef, Shepitpet Beyisro. So she was her father and mother. One came from Yisro, one came from Yosef, from Menashe, etc. So the Ben Ishchai has a question over here. He says, how could it be that the Torah is meramez to Yisro with such a lashon? It was pitem agalim lavodizara. I mean, Yisro was a tzaddik. He was a ger. He was a gayer. He became a holy person. How can we talk like that? Lafech, it says that it's a din and avona. You're not allowed to say to a ger, zechor masecha harishoni. You're not allowed to tell the ger, I remember what it was. You used to be a goy. It's aser. So how could the Torah talk about Yisro like that? That he was a mefatim agalim lavodizara. So he answers and he says the following: Nira lomar b'siyat d'shmaya, the Ben Ishchai. He says Shiramza kan shivcho. Says the Ben Ishchai, no lafech. It's a tremendous shvach for Yisrael. Lomar kol kacha dukhaya avodah zara. He was so close and clinging to avodah zara. V'im kol zeh zachalios ger kadosh ad shamar lo Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom ba'yisrael lanu leinaim kolam rachaviv alinu kevavas einenu. He became such a great person that Moshe Rabbeinu says you were dear to us as like our own eyes. Right, meaning that it shows his greatness. Yeah, he used to be fatten up calves, and look where he is now. It's a tremendous shvach. V'gam yizaru amdu tzadiki matzuim sheyu gedolei Torah. V'chad mi'en Pinchas ben Elazar. Yishalukim. Pinchas came from him. So you see, it's a shvach to Yisrael to mention his background. So along comes the Chasam Sofer and says, okay, so now, yeah, he says, that Kagufa Kasha. He says, so if that's the case, why is it aser to tell a ger who did a tremendous thing and gave up his whole life and joined the Jewish people? Why is it aser to say, look where you came from? Lafik, it's a big shvach. Chasam Sofer asks. So Galinsky likes to answer, says a tremendous yesod. He's makdim with the maisa, like we mentioned before. That in Vilna, he said there was a story of a shoemaker who he hit it rich and he became a very wealthy man. And he used to be a simple, poor shoemaker, and he went up in the world. He became a chashev person, and he made a chasna for one of his children, his daughter, whatever. And as he was walking towards the chuppah with his daughter, walking towards the chuppah, one of the wealthy men in the community, you want to say, look, who does he think he is? You know, he used to be a simple shoemaker, so I'll show him. So in the middle of the ceremony, as they're walking towards the chuppah, this guy takes off his shoes. He walks up to the father in front of everybody and says, how much does it cost to fix these shoes? He shows right in the middle. So the guy was totally mevuyesh, so embarrassed in front of everybody, and it almost, killed the whole simcha, whatever. So they say this is what started the whole Musar movement, Yisrael Misalan. When he said that the Rabbanim of that time are that area are going to be held responsible, that how come they didn't educate the people better in Bein Adam L'Chavero that something like this could have happened? And that gave him the push to start the Musar movement, to educate people how to be mentioned. So he himself questions, though. He says, Galinsky says, I understand, though, why was the guy so embarrassed? L'hafach. He should be proud. He should say, yeah, I used to be a simple human. Now look at me. What was he embarrassed about? What was he upset? He says, l'hafach, he should give thanks to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He brings the Midrash, Avos Rabbi Nasan, Maisus Rabbi Akiva, Shei Yoshev Eshona LaTalmidav, and Nisgar Lo Masha Asabi Yalduso. While he was giving a shir, something came up and it reminded him of his, when he was younger, that his first 40 years he wasted away doing nothing. right? So what happened? So when he was reminded of that, so did he get upset? Did he say, oh, you know, what did I do? How did I waste my life? He said, no, what did he say? Says the Midrash. He said, Amar, Modi ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shesamtel chalki b'yoshvei beis ha-midrash, lo samtel chalki b'yoshvei karanos. That's what he said. Thank you, Hashem. Oh, Hashem. Okay, I wasted my first 40 years, but now look at me. Thank you. You know that I ended up where I am. Should be happy. So, says Enachanami, really, a person should be, so what's going on? A person really should be happy. And, but yet we have this, you know, Isser to speak to a gear like this. So he says a tremendous yesod. He said, we see from here that Enachanami, what a person should feel like, he should be happy, should, it all doesn't matter. If a person is going to be hurt, you're not allowed to speak to him in a way that'll hurt his feelings, no matter what he should be feeling, right? So Enachanami says Yisro, you know, said that it gave a shvach of Yisro, you know, that he was, you know, did what he did, and that's a shmei shvach because he came to become Yisro, even though what he used to do. He said, however, if someone would have come up to Yisro and tell him in his face, you know, you used to, and that would hurt his feelings, even over on Nisr Deraisa, it's a shvach. Seder, if he feels that it's a shvach, great. But if not, then you're over Nisr D'Oraisa. In other words, it doesn't go by what the emes really is. It goes by that individual, how he takes it, how he feels. And he says, a tremendous nafkamina, because he says, many times, you know, you might do something to somebody, and say, well, how come you're not asking mechila? So what is your response? He's oversensitive. You know, he shouldn't have felt, I didn't say anything wrong, right? So it was okay. It was nothing wrong. And it could be right. You said maybe it was okay. But if he took it wrong, you have to ask him for mechila. Because it goes by him, not what the MS really is, but how the other person takes it. And therefore, he says that that's not an excuse. We can't use an excuse that you know what really should be, but how this person takes it. Next, Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe ve'el Aaron lemor yikidaber lechem paro lemor tnu lechem mofes." So Hashem set up Moshe and Aaron. He says, "You know, Paro's gonna ask you for a moface. Why a moface?" He says it's coming to him. You know, so many years a king, you know, Paro, and people are coming, a representative from another superpower. This happens to be a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Paro has a right to say, ask for credentials. You know, here you're coming from. You know, show who you are. But prove it to me that you're chashav people coming from a chashav person. So Hashem prepared them for that. He said, no problem. Take your stick, throw it down, and it'll turn into a nachash. Fine. So that's what happened. And they came in front of Pharaoh. He says, who are you? Where are you coming from? Prove your, show me your credentials. So what did he do? Threw down his staff, turned into a nachash. What was the response? Pharaoh started laughing hysterically. He goes, this is your proof. It's a joke. You're throwing a staff down. We do it all the time over here. And he called in the little kids, you know, from Cheder, so to speak. You know, he says, here, show them. And they threw down their pencils. These little snakes came up. He goes, this is the first graders learn how to do this over here. He says, and they started laughing at him. And Moshe Rabbeinu was like, oh, this is what Hashem told me to do, you know. You know, any villain, he said, it's like a tremendous chil Hashem, you know, what's going on? And he's very embarrassed. So, what happens? Finally, after that, the staff turns into the snake turns back into a staff, and only then swallows up the other snakes that the Egyptians had made. So then, all of a sudden, their smiles left their faces, because that is something they couldn't do. And in fact, the Midrash Rabbah says that once Paro saw that, he said, "Umay im yomar lamateb bala lefaro lekiso achshavu baleoto." He said, a staff can swallow an inanimate object. Can swallow. Next thing you know, he's going to swallow me up. So he started getting nervous, and he started. Fine. So in the end, everything worked out. But he asks, but fine, it worked out in the end, but why did Hashem do it like this? Why did Hashem make him do something which he knew was going to, you know, make him a laughing stock? And then afterwards, okay, make it work out okay in the end anyway. Should have right away brought done something like, say, watch this, and the roof fly off or something, and create a new sun in the sky. I don't know, something like that. There's no way that the pharaohs and magicians could have done. And finished. Why did he do something which was looked something like a joke, and only afterwards he metaken? Why? So we understand that he says, have to go back a little bit, and with the story, what had happened. Hashem sent Moshe to take out the Jewish people. He comes to Paro, let my people go. And what happens? Paro says, oh yeah? He says, forget it. And not only that, I'm going to make things worse. And till then, they were giving the straw to make the bricks. Now, he said, now I have to find their own straw, and things got even worse. So the people started complaining, what have you done? You've come here to take us out. You made things worse. And sure enough, even Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and he complains, Lama Yerosa, Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtani. He says, why did you do this, Hashem? Why'd you send me? You just made matters worse. All right. So, what happened? In order to answer Moshe Rabbeinu, this whole incident with the snake, which you're asking, why did Hashem do it like this? This was to answer Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning to show him. He threw down the snake, the staff, and it turned into a snake. Okay, they started laughing, right? So at this point, it seemed like Chil Hashem, they're laughing, it's a joke, anybody can do it, whatever. But then what happened? In the end, it turned back to a stick and a swallow. I was thinking it was a big Kiddush Hashem. So Hashem wanted to show Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, you can't judge any specific thing as it is, you have to look in the future, right? Which you can't. You just have to trust me that I know what I'm doing. If it's something comes from a Tzivu Hashem, Hashem knows what he's doing, everything's going to work out in the end. If I'm telling you to throw down the thing, it turns it in, you'll see in the end it's going to work out, which it did. And therefore, so too, when I told you to go take the Jewish people out and all of a sudden things got worse, you should have trusted me that I know what I'm doing. It looks a little bit weird, what's going on over here, but if I'm telling you to do it, you have to realize that I know what I'm doing. And sure enough, Hashem didn't know what he's doing, of course. But why? Because, why did this happen? It was all pre-organized, because they were supposed to leave really being in Mitzrayim for 400 years. So why did they leave after 210? Because of the Koshi Yeshibu. So Hashem saw that the only way to get out early and get out now, which they had to do because they were on the 49th level of Tuma, is it was now or never. They had to leave. But they weren't finished there. They needed a little bit of more extra harsh shibud before they can finish their quota, and now they can leave. So Hashem says, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to ask Pharaoh, he's going to get upset, he's going to make extra shibud. That's going to be a little bit extra that they need to finish their quota of shibud that they need, and then they can go out early. So looking at as is what happened, and when it happened, look, oh, Hashem, lama yerosa, lama zeh, why are you doing this terrible thing? So Hashem says, if I'm telling you to do it, I know what I'm doing. Don't judge this situation right now. There's a bigger picture over here. So if I'm telling you to do it, there's a good reason. And that was a lesson he taught him with the staff as well. Right? It looks like a joke. Don't worry, I know what I'm doing, you'll see. And everything works out in the end. So too here as well. And he says, Mita Kenegan Mita, therefore, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he's questioning, oh, it's what's going on over here? It's a bad matzav. And Hashem told him, no, it's a bad matzav, but everything will work out, which it did. So Hashem punished him that he was going to have to go through the bad matzav of during the 40 years of the desert, in the desert of taking the Jewish people there. But when it came to the final good of going to Eretz Yisrael, that he wasn't given. Because he didn't realize that things might be tough, but in the end it was going to work out. So Mita Kegan Mita, he's going to have to, stick with the stuff, tough stuff. But then when it comes in to the good, to come in there Israel, that he wasn't allowed. And he says that's a yisod in Ashkafen and in life, that the different situations come up where you think this is terrible, whatever. But you have to, so man, Hashem knows what he's doing. So he brings this mice a number of times in his Sfarim. Over and over again, something that happened to him personally, where we see this. He says that he was in Lita. He said they were not allowed to learn Torah. So they had like an underground learning, session where, to hide out, and they're learning in secretly. So what happened? The Goyim came, they somehow got word that they're there, and they came to capture them. And some of the boys were able to run away. And they didn't capture him. And he himself was captured, and with some other boys. And he says, you have no idea how jealous we were, how the other boys were able to run away, and they chapped us, and we were taken and sent on Shabbos, put on a train and sent to Siberia, right? Which they told us were going to be for 25 years of hard labor, which nobody usually, you know, makes it through there alive. And we're put on train on Shabbos, and you know, we're looking out the window. You know, I said, it's not fair. You know, why us? So, and we said, we're so jealous of those boys that got away. And meanwhile, what happened in the end? The next day, the Nazis came, they invaded, and all their friends were taken and they were killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. And then him and the ones that were taken to Siberia survived. They weren't there for 25 years, they got out after 2 years, and they survived. So what they thought was the worst situation ended up, that's what saved their lives. He's been asked, Yaakov was asked, he says, how do we look at these things, something called suicide bombing? He says it's no need pass. He says we can't understand such a thing. You have these goyim, they tie these bombs to themselves, and they go to, you know, these busy places and explode themselves up and kill, you know, innocent people, whatever. How can a person do such a thing? Like, you know, okay, it's one thing, you know, throw a bomb, but to kill yourself, you know. What's pshat? So he said, what's not understood? He says, 50 years ago already. He says when people never thought there would ever be such a thing. He said that the Brisker Rav comment. He says, you know, the people think that, you know, if we were tough with the Arabs and that, and we killed them or whatever, so then everything will be okay with it. But he said that's not the case. He brought some of the psukim, right, in Devarim, that says, "Vayetze Amori Hayoshei Baharahu Likraschem V'yodefu Aschem Kasher Tasenu Hadvorim V'yaksu Aschem B'seir Ad Chorma." So it's the ma'isa with the after the Chet Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu was relating over that after the Chet Meraglim, there was the group from Ephraim. They wanted to say, okay, so now we're going to go up to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to do what Hashem. But now Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, don't go. If you go, you're going to be decimated. But they said, no, we're going, whatever. And they went, and they were killed. And the enemy was described as being like dvorim, like a bees. So Rashi says, what's pshat bees? He says, ma hadvor azu kashim maka es hadam miyad mesa. This like a bee, after it stings, it dies. So afheim kashim nogim bachem miyad metim. Okay, they're going to touch you, hit you, try to kill you, they'll kill you, but then they're going to die. And that's what happened. So why did they do it? A suicide bomber. Why did they do it? Terence says, because Hashem wanted it. Hashem wanted to punish these Yidden, so he sent them to that. It makes no sense. It makes sense, because that's what Hashem wanted. Hashem sent them to that. Why would they do such a thing? They themselves are going to die. Why would they? Hashem sent them. That's why. So we see same things by the Germans, Yimach Shemam, right? At the end of the war, right, when they were losing on the eastern border, the eastern front, so they sent message. They need the extra backup. And please send trains with ammunition or whatever, and soldiers, right? We need extra, you know, support on the eastern front. So they said, we can't. Why? Because we need the trains to send the Jews to the death camps. He says, but that's ridiculous. I mean, they're going to lose the war, the war effort. I mean, they're being attacked from the Russians, and they're going to lose unless they have a bag. Okay, so bring the train late. You can kill the Jews tomorrow. I mean, now you got to deal with the enemy over here. No. Does that make any sense? So why did they do that? That's what Hashem wanted. Says that, to relate to our parsha a little bit, that so too with the frogs, right? The nature of Balei Chaim is that they by nature they know how to survive, and they're scared of fire. They run away from fire because they know it's dangerous, right? And here we had the frogs that they went inside the tannurim. Went to the tannurim in order to, punish the Egyptians. Even though it's totally against nature. But that's what Hashem wanted. So that's what they did. Something that was against nature. So too here, all these various mechablim or whatever. Hashem wants to attack us. He's going to make them do things that make no sense whatsoever. Because they're sent from Hashem. and brings a famous vort from the Chafetz Chaim in the name of the Rav Itzel Mivolozhin, the time when the Mashiach, the Ikvas of the Mashiach, it says Pnei Ador Ka Pnei Kelev, right? That the door is going to be like a dog, the generation of the Mashiach. So what is that? He says, just like a dog, he says, when you hit the dog, what does the dog do? It gets angry at the stick and bites the stick. Right? Why? Because the dog thinks, oh, the stick hit me, oh, and he attacks the stick. Not the stick. The stick is there's the person behind the stick that's doing it. Right? So that's so too. The Pnei Ador is going to have Kelev that are going to think when bad things happen, oh, it's the Arabs, oh, it's the this, it's the that, whatever. Yeah, it is, but they're just the stick. There's some force behind the stick, i.e. Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, but they don't see it like that. It's in Pnei Ador, Pnei Kelev. Finally, says that there was once in the school in Cheder or whatever, the kids were looking through the window, and they see a finger from the outside the window. So they said they saw a finger. So they all ran to the window. Why? Because they wanted to see who's attached to the finger. Makes sense. Right? They didn't think of some finger flying in the air. It must be attached to somebody. So he ran to the window to see. So he said, so too. He says the Egyptians, right, when they saw the kini, what did they say? Etzpa lokimi. They say etzpa. Etzpa lokimi. What do you mean etzpa? It's not flying etzpa out of the etzpa is connected to something. Connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a mach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Etzpa, what etzpa? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you have to realize the source of everything. Okay. Next, on the pasuk uvechal v'amcha b'chol avadecha yalu hatzafardim. So the Rabbeinu Bechaye says Tosefes Hey. There's an extra Hey hatzafardim uvecha v'amcha. Then what's the extra Hey? Ki kol makah u'makah sheviya Kodesh Baruch Hu al Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim hayta shel chamesh makot. So remez that every makah, there was really five makkas in each makkah, so altogether is 10 times 5 is 50. As we says, Rabbi Kiva darshins in Nar Haggadah, which we say from the pasuk Yeshalach Bam Chara Napo Ever Avazam Tzar Mishlachas Malchei Reim, Balayam Laku, according to Rabbi Kiva, Matayim Chamishim, right? Because it was a Yad, so it was the Etzba in Mitzrayim, and that was 50, and then the Yad, which is 5 times 50, 250 or 250 makkas in on the Yam. So he asks, why did Rabbi Akiva, you know, feel necessary to, you know, marbe so many makos? You know, there are 250. Why do you feel? So the hefech, you know, he says, if anything, they should have suffered less, the Mitzrim. Why? Because after all, the Jewish people were not these great tzaddikim that did not deserve any type of punishment. They themselves were on the 49th level of Tuma. They didn't do Bris Mila. And, the Malach Eshari says, Manishtana Eilu Me'elu, why are they any different than them? These were the Jewish people. Okay, so you still shouldn't, you know, do bad to them, but to be marbe so many makas, I mean, lemaisa, they were a little bit deserving of a patch, the Jews, somewhat. So why was he marbe? So he said very nicely that this is Rabbi Akiva is going l'shitasa. What is Rabbi Akiva l'shitasa? It's the Gemara says that the Mishnah says a mevayish adam Yisrael meshalim l'fich fodo. Right, a person who's a mevayish somebody. And in Baba Kama, right? How much you have to pay for embarrassing a person, depending on the person, how much coveted and more chashuv a person, you have to pay more, etc. Rabbi Kiva says no. Hakatan be Yisrael kagadol shebehem. Even the least of Yisrael is like the greatest. And why? Lefishem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So then the Mishnah brings a maisa. That what happened? A person. He revealed a woman's hair, took off her shetel, whatever, in public, embarrassed her. And they came in front of Rabbi Akiva and said, for a din Torah. So Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, you know, you have to pay her for busha. How much? 400 zuz. Now, 400 zuz, tremendous amount of money. Okay, he says, a ksup is 200 zuz, because that's a parnasa for a year. Let's say $30,000 or whatever. This was double that. You know, imagine he pulls off his shetel. Okay, $60,000 fine. I mean, it's a little bit. So what did this guy do? He says. He said, well, just give me some time. And so Rabbi Akiva said, fine. So what did he do? He took out some oil, and he saw in front of where this lady lives, whatever, and poured some oil down on the street. And then she came by, and she goes, wow, nice oil. And she takes off her head covering, puts some oil, you know, on her thing. She starts rubbing it in her hair, you know, right there in public, and rubbing in her hair, and think. So he had aid him there to show that, you know, to see what happened. Came back to Rabbi Akiva and says, this woman you want me to pay her $400? She says she's a mevayesh herself. She takes off her hair covering in front of everybody. That come on now. This is the type of person you're. So what did Rabbi Akiva answer him? He said, no, it doesn't matter. She mevayesh asmo rashay v'chem shibishu chayavim. Two different things. Person embarrasses himself, he embarrasses himself. But if somebody else, yeah, he's chayav. So he says, what's the shot? But lamaisa, why? I mean, the person that embarrasses doesn't really care about the beer, so why do you have to pay him so much? So he says, Chafetz Chaim says, mashal amad davar doma. He says that Chazal say, Mishiesh lameya, rotze matai. Somebody has $100, he wants $200. Matai, somebody has $200, he wants $400. So ask the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand. Why is it only the guy that has $200 wants $400? Why isn't the guy that $100 want $400? Why $100, $200? And then $200 or $400? Why not the $100 wants $400? Why can't the $100 want $400? So he says, because he's not holding there. He doesn't. His horizons aren't broadened enough. You know, 100. All he can think about is 200. That's a lot of money for him, right? He can't think of any more. He can't relate to anything more than that because he's katan. You know, once he has 200, oh, now his horizons are broader, and he sees with 200. So now he can take the next step, and now he can look up to 400, etc. But the 100, it's 400. It's too much. So he says, fine. Based on that, he says, let's take, for example, a guy who has 400. He's a rich guy. Okay? And then what happens? Something happens. He gets broken into, and somebody breaks into a safe and steals all his money. And, you know, he was this rich man, but now he's lost everything, and now he's a pauper. So if somebody, you know, would embarrass him, how do we look at it? Is that called like embarrassing a rich person or a poor person? Teretz is a rich person. Why? Because he had these hasagas. He knew what it's like to. This something happened. Okay, something happened. He was robbed, but he had broad horizons. He was a rich man. He knew what it is. Well, he knows what money is, right? Just happens to be he was robbed. So he says, Memele. He says it's the same thing over here. He says, how could Rabbi Akiva make this man pay? He says, he said, Rabbi Akiva says, because every yid is great. Every yid has these broad horizons. Every yid is b'nei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, no such thing as this is a poor person. Poor person, he might be poor because whatever, his matzah. But his hasagas are all hasagas of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The male answer, Rabbi Akiva, that's why you have to pay everybody. So Mele, he says, that's Rabbi Akiva, therefore, Lashita. So that's why he was marba the makas. We have to give these Egyptians full makas, 250, as many as we can. Why? Because they're damaging B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Halalu, Avodi, 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 that's just a matzah if something happened. But their hasagas are great. They're Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Mele, we can be marba the makas and then give as many as we can. Should we all zoicha to the see the not only the read about the gula as Mitzrayim, but we should ourselves be zoicha to the gula shlema b'mhirav yameinu.